So our topic today is how can we turn this nation back to God. I just want to say that this is not a political problem. I don't want to hear anything political coming out of anyone today. I really don't, because that is not where our solution lies. Part of our problem is the church taking political sides, and which only leads us to pointing fingers. If you watch one network, a political news show, all they're going to do is point fingers at the other political party, and they might grump about their own political party. All you hear is grumping. There are no solutions. These solutions, spiritual solutions, aren't found politically. So our part of our problem is our church has been divided over political lines, and it's caused the right to blame the left and the left to blame the right. So our hope is not in any one party, candidate, or ballot box. That is not going to change anything. It doesn't work. And we still have Christians that are exhorting other Christians to get out and vote. And it's like the spiritual element isn't even part of their vocabulary anymore. And where we need to be is on our knees. What we need to be in is the Word. What we need to be is encouraging others to follow Christ and be good disciples so that we might be loving to those that need Jesus. It is an individual thing. And if we get enough individuals with enough momentum, and maybe the Lord will bless us with revival. That's my prayer. So over the course of the next minutes here, I think I have less scripture than I usually do. I'm hoping, these calls can run long, and we're just going to plow through them. We're going to cover God's track record of judgment. We're going to cover our spiritual heritage and why we might be judged, why we're not special, to be, why would God judge us? Well, I have our reasons, that we'll cover. And I do encourage discussion. So I'm going to cover some ground. I'm going to read a brief section of Habakkuk right away, and then we're going to get into God's track record of judgment, and then we'll end with our part, what we can do. I never want to teach or preach anything without leaving people with a call to action, that what we can do practically. So we'll start with Habakkuk. It's in chapter 1. You don't have to turn to it. It's just the first four verses, Habakkuk chapter 1. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere, I cry. But you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. Does this sound familiar? Has anyone heard this that rings some resemblance to what's going on in our society today?
Amen.
Can I hear an amen? Thank you, Sylvester.
Amen.
That is eerily familiar.
Eerily familiar, absolutely. It sends shivers down my spine every time I read it. We need to understand the context that Habakkuk wrote that. His country was falling apart. Jerusalem, Judah, was supposed to be a beacon. That's what David understood. King David understood this, that they were to be a beacon, a light on the top of a hill, proclaiming the goodness of God. You cannot explain the Israelites without God. So Habakkuk is having this heart-wrenching prayer, seeing the chaos and the injustice in his day. And what's God tell him? I'm not going to take much more time to read Habakkuk, but God tells him, oh, yeah, I'm going to send the Babylonians right in there. I'm going to let them sack you. And the evil's not going to get any better. God didn't give good news to Habakkuk as far as his current circumstance. It is a wonderful book. I recommend that you read it. It's a quick three chapters. And Habakkuk, through this journey of his, as you will see in chapter 3, comes closer to Christ. So we as individuals, I think, can really benefit from the short book of Habakkuk. When we see, you know, there wasn't any light at the end of the tunnel. The light at the end of Jerusalem's tunnel in that day was Nebuchadnezzar. And what did Jerusalem, what did Jeremiah tell them was their solution? Their solution was to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. That would be, let's say it this way. You know, we know that Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God. God used Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar wasn't to blame for their problem. So it's very similar. Let's say that God decided to use Vladimir Putin as a servant. Nebuchadnezzar was no better of a man than Vladimir Putin. I think you might argue that Nebuchadnezzar was a more wicked person than Mr. Putin. I don't know, Mr. Putin, I want to be respectful. He's a man and made in the image of God. So all I'm saying is, if God decided to use Vladimir Putin as a servant, imagine a prophet today proclaiming God's truth, saying, surrender to Vladimir Putin. It wouldn't be a popular message, would it? Now, I'm not saying that's happening. All I'm saying is I'm drawing kind of an analogy, because Jerusalem was running wicked, and the priests had forgotten about their God. And we're going to get into that kind of stuff. But God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to carry out the judgment. The Old Testament clearly explains this, but we don't have time for that. All I'm trying to say was, we don't know God's will for our nation. As far as I know, he didn't promise us revival. But I do see cases such as Nineveh. I just love that example, because Jonah had the message that Nineveh was going to be destroyed. There was no, there wasn't anything in his message that said, well, if you repent. He didn't even offer that. He said, you're going to be destroyed. It was because the king of Nineveh said he had just a little bit of faith. The king of Nineveh said, well, perhaps we repent. Perhaps we cover ourselves in sackcloth and throw ashes on our head. Perhaps if we get everyone to do it, then God will have mercy. So my hope is to get enough people to come to repent and say, Lord, we've screwed up. It's not the Democratic Party that screwed up. It's not the Republican Party that screwed up. We've screwed up. We've all forsaken God. And we'll get to that a little later. So when you read Habakkuk, we're in good company. Don't lose heart if you are in Christ, all right? Don't lose heart if you are in Christ. He has you right where he wants you. So stand strong, for he will use you for such a time as this. I am convinced, my friends, as this nation continues to unravel, and I'm telling you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But as this nation unravels, it will be us, true disciples, that will be in desperate need, because people will need to hear some hope. We cannot survive without hope. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people running around these days, even within the church, as if nothing else is going on. They're just anesthetized in work. They're anesthetized in maybe their children's activities. They're anesthetized in sports. I mean, the list goes on and on, and how people, you know, medicate themselves. And I'm saying that it's going to get bad, and it's going to need sober-minded Christians in Christ to be the hope to offer other people. And God is preparing us for that.